grateful of our parents for trusting us with their children and for partnering with us to make our school so wonderful. All of the kindergarten teachers who welcomed our newest and youngest students and may have dealt with some crying students or parents this morning. I'm a grandmother of a kindergartner, not in Plainview, so I know how it feels. All of our administrators, teachers, and staff who made sure that students felt welcomed, safe, and excited on their first day of school. Mr. Cunningham, Mr. Ward, and all of our B&G staff who worked so hard all summer on our bond-related projects, capital improvements, and made sure our buildings and grounds were ready for school to begin. Dr. Mulieri and his staff and all of the staff members and parents who interviewed to ensure that we began our school year with such a great staff. Dr. O'Meara, our administrators and teachers for working so hard throughout the summer on curriculum writing. Mr. Donnarumo and his staff for making sure our schools and buses are safe and secure. And Dr. Lewis, who oversaw everything to ensure a smooth opening of school and for leading us as we begin to move mountains. And with that, I'll ask for board announcements. Ginger?
Just as a reminder about vaping and e-cigarettes, today Michigan became the first state to ban the flavored e-cigarettes. Vaping can lead to death. They're now showing studies where it's absolutely affected children's lungs. We've got to talk to our kids. We've got to make sure as parents that we're responsible also, because these are hard conversations. These are becoming life and death issues. And if you go into a store that sells them, you should remind them that we have students who come in and they cannot be selling them to kids. But it's a very dangerous thing. It's causing lung diseases, heart attacks, and death.
Susan?
I want to thank all the administrators, the teachers, and the staff, and the support staff that opened up school today. And as a reminder, as a parent to other parents, to remind, and I think our community does a really great job with this, I'm going to make a footnote, but if there is a student sitting by themselves at a table in a lunchroom or not playing with anybody on a playground, if they could just be the person to say hi, and it's usually just a hi and a smile, and just to go forward, because everyone needs somebody. So if that could happen, and we can encourage that across the board, that would be fantastic.
Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Dr. Lewis.
So first, I join the board in thanking everyone for getting us ready for the opening of school. As I said to the staff at the end of the day, I wanted to thank them for a great opening, but last Wednesday I didn't think we were going to make it when I drove around with Andy and Rich to we do this visit to all the buildings to make sure that we were ready and open, and I looked at Old Beth Page and the parking lot hadn't yet been complete, and little things that were, we know, had to be done for the opening of school, but honestly, I have to give great kudos to the B&G staff, because 2 days ago I didn't feel confident that we would make it. But, you know, they, especially, I want to say the folks at POB Middle School, I mean everybody, but, you know, some of the challenge areas, POB Middle School had very little time to get ready because Camp Apollo had just left. And they had major renovations to the buildings. As you will see when you do your board tour, you're going to be absolutely wowed by what they did with the library space and with the space downstairs that they've carved out. Just really amazing. But it meant that all of this was taking place while a camp was going on. And then when the camp left, they had to get the building ready. But they made it, and I mean, some of them worked over the weekend, and it is a Labor Day weekend, and they did work through the weekend in order to have our buildings up and ready. So I want to thank everybody. Teachers were there greeting the kids today. You will see up on the website, I would encourage all of those who to visit our website, because we're throwing those opening days, the first few days of school up, as kids come in. And I was out in Matlin, started a whole different arrival and dismissal procedure. It was a little rough at the end of the day today. But the kids, you know what? Our kids are happy. And that's really what we're looking for. Our kids are happy. They came in with a smile and they left with a smile. And that's all we really can ask. So I want to thank everyone. We began the year of moving mountains, because, you know, we've done so well in the past. We just thought, well, how do we push it out? And we are beginning the year of moving mountains. And in front of you, each of the board members, is a jar. It's a jar, and it has some marbles in it. And our leadership team also received a jar with marbles. And we talked about the extraordinary effort of one young lady who passed away over the summer, who really, for me, moved mountains in so many different ways. Everybody knew what the rules were on the second floor, because Ellen would not allow kids to run in the hall, or she knew. And she knew when she saw you that you were associated with the board. Go tell Ginger this. Please let Ginger know this, or, you know, tell Debbie this. And she just was an extraordinary person who gave 150% of herself. So we gave all of our administrators jars, and there are marbles in the jars. And we asked them to think about things that they themselves have done that have gone above and beyond, or who their colleagues have done above and beyond. And when they have recognized it and want to recognize efforts of kindness or efforts that really are moving mountains here, that you place a marble in their jars. So the question, and it came from the book that we're reading. The book that we're reading is Brené Brown's Dare to Lead. And in that book, she speaks about who fills your jar. Like, who fills your jar? And what we're saying to each other is that when people do acts of kindness or go above and beyond, recognize it by giving them a marble. So today I was in a building, and one of my APs was holding a marble. She goes, "I just got a marble." Wow. You know, and she explained why she got it. But the thing is that we have a great leadership team, and they always go above and beyond. And now it's time for them to start recognizing each other and when they do go above and beyond. So I think I have a great board that always goes above and beyond. I always brag about you. I boast about my board. So I am giving you those marbles that you will then, if you open the jar, you'll have the marbles. And in your own lives or things, you can keep them here. We want, when things happen in the district that we believe that we've gone above and beyond, we've moved some mountains, we're going to put some marbles in each other's jars.
I love that.
So those are your marbles. You can either do it in your own personal lives, or you can bring it here.
But we all have the same amount, right?
Everybody has the same amount of marbles.
Just checking.
But the point is to recognize others. As we said, it's the year of Ellen, and when we want to recognize when we have done above and beyond.
Yes. Lauren?
Interesting enough, I unfortunately was not at the last board meeting, yeah. But I did want to add, and it's so on point with this, so thank you for this. This is great, and I'm going to use this every day.
Yes,
I feel like I needed this. But Ellen and I, and I'm sorry that it took me so long to realize this, but I was in a club, and clubs are so important in our school district, and I was in a club called Peer Leadership. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, only like a couple of years ago, and but it was such a great club, and one of the great parts of that club is that you got to go to a lot of different schools in the district, and you got to work with the elementary school children, you got to teach them about stranger danger, and a lot of other great things. But when I met Ellen for the first time, I went to Matlin. She wasn't much different than me in age, and we had a Thanksgiving feast together. And we went around the table, and she basically gave me a marble that day. Because she didn't give me a physical marble, but in my heart, she gave me a marble. Because we went around that table that day, And we went around saying what we were thankful for, and it's just some things you don't forget. So she said, I am thankful for making new friends today. And it's just like that one thing that you just don't forget and realize why you do what you do. And it's just, well, it stuck with me because every time I saw her in the hallway, I made a new friend too. So I will miss her, and I'm sorry to her family, but I just wanted to say that because she was a great person. And at first, I didn't put two and two together because so many, you know, you go to college and you start a family and years go on. Yeah. But she was a very special person, and I am fortunate enough to have had that Thanksgiving feast with her and had made a new friend that day.
Thank you, Lauren.
Wow.
Okay.
That's what the marbles are for. That's what the marbles are for. So
it was perfect.
Perfect.
Okay. Now we're going to go on to reports and discussions. We have retirements.
Yes. Oh. Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank Mary. You. Yes. Tonight we're going to celebrate the fantastic work two of our family members have done over the years, and I'm sure that their jars, if they think about everything that they've learned and all the work that they've done and everything they've done for the people of the community and the staff, their jars will be overflowing. So we do have two of our faculty members who will come up and speak on their behalf, so I'd ask Andy Ward to come up to speak on Vincent Campagna's behalf.
Hello, everyone. I have with me is Vincent, and Vincent has decided to retire, and we're going to miss him. He was most recently working in the old Bethpage School, and Vincent came to us back in 2003 through the Lutheran School over on Central Park Road, and he worked at POB Middle School for about 10 years. And he elected to transfer over to the old Bethpage School, where I spent some time today with Principal Gray. And there's nothing but great, kind words for Vince. He was always helpful. The teachers were there, too. And they really stressed that he was a person who was there every day, did the right job. Anything they asked for, he was able to help out. And he will be sorely missed by us. And I present Vincent to you.
Thank you for the acknowledgement. It's been a pleasure to work here the last 17 years, and I will miss it. It just didn't work out the way I thought it would, but all is good. Thank you. Thank you very much for acknowledging me.
Yeah.
And on behalf of the board, we'd like to present you with this plaque in recognition of your service. I can't read.
Oh, sorry. I hear you. I understand.
In the public schools of Plainview, Old Bethpage, 2003 to 2019. What?
Never mind.
Oh.
Can't hear either.
This token of esteem and appreciation presented on behalf of the community on the occasion of your retirement.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful, wonderful
thank
retirement.
From Old Bethpage PTA.
Thank you.
Thank
you
for all of your
thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for all your work, Vincent. Our second employee, who certainly has filled her jar with marbles, working in the business office, will be recognized by Mr. Cunningham.
So, come over here. Okay. This is my friend, Denise Vaccaro. All right, so Denise joined the district in 2002.
Right.
Since that time, she has been your collections agent and accounts payable, or accounts receivable, sorry.
Receivable,
in your previous
right.
employer, you were accounts payable.
No.
You sure?
Possibly.
All right. I think that's what I read on your application. We have to go back and look at that. So anyway, yes, there are those in the community who fear Denise because if Denise is calling, they know it's time to pay. And there's a very serious side to you. But in the business office, there is a very warm and funny part of you. And even this Tuesday, we were hoping you showed up to work by accident. But you weren't there, and it left a hole in the office because we already miss you.
Oh, thank you.
One of your colleagues, Joan, recited that it was time to go. The party is over, and tomorrow's another day. Something that she said, many of the sayings that you used in the business office will stay with us. And we were very happy to be able to celebrate your retirement last week with you and see so many colleagues come back to celebrate with us. And so we look forward to seeing you come back as well when others have the same great opportunity that you have to spend time with your husband, your grandkids. We wish you health and happiness, long, healthy happiness in your retirement, and enjoy watching your grandkids grow up.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for your 17 years of service to the district.
Thank you.
I just want, that's okay. I'm tall. I just wanted to thank you. Rich really said everything, but as a grandmother, I want to wish you wonderful years spent watching them grow up and wonderful vacations and time with your husband.
Right. Thank you very much. Thanks. Oops, sorry. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we're going to go into a report on year in review. And what a year it's been. Feel free. No.
So it's always easier for me to do it from. Do we have a thing? Last year, our theme was keys to success, and certainly, by many measures, there were keys. That we certainly handed out a lot of keys last year. Chief among that is our outstanding graduation. Thank you. I can do it. Outstanding graduation rates. Our 96% Regents Diploma, 85% Advanced Regents Diploma, and Postgraduate College. 91%. This is I can't remember a time, Jim, when we had over 90% going to four-year college and only 2% to two-year college. Just amazing. Congratulations to the entire high school staff. Again, this is another way of distributing that 91%. In that class of 2019, there were lots of accolades, and they're all here, 14 commended students, the National Merit semifinalists, and academic awards across the board, not just in the academics. We did well in science, in the arts, in scholarship, with the athletics, across the board, scholar athletes. 362 graduates earned over $10 million. I want to get this out. Yeah, okay. Over $10 million in scholarships. And what's important is, you know, the measure of how we prepare our students for college is whether or not we've exposed them to some college-level experiences. And I have to say, 581 students participated in the AP program, and we got our results. 68% of our seniors left us with at least earning a 3 or more in AP classes. So that's a pretty big feat. Music programs, we know we have 135 all-county, 8 All-Eastern, 4 All-National, 550 NISBA. That's a lot of students participating in the NISBA program. In athletics, we excelled all over. We had 5 All-States, 25 All-County. DECA, you know, that's a show. That's really a program. In fact, students who go through DECA, we can be assured that they are prepared with their public speaking skills and really know how to present their work. That is also true of the independent research and also our capstone program. That's another thing that we did really well on. 36% of our special education students received Advanced Regents Diploma. That is a huge accolade to our special education department. Last year was marked for our K-4 students by the opening of the Discovery Lab, and it worked so well that our PTAs asked us to expand that, and we are expanding that experience this year, not only to expanding the experience for K-4 students, but we're also expanding it in grades 5, so that those kids will have the same level of engagement with science. We began the Leader in Me program at the middle school, and that has expanded this year. We had lots of community outreach, which was one of the things that the board asked us to focus on. Many, many reasons to involve our students and our parents. We began this summer extending some of our learning through the summer. So we ran a technology boot camp for our staff. Ben Wiley led that, and quite successfully. 49 students went on our college tour, and again, thanks to Lori Lynn and her band of counselors for spending a few days touring critical schools of whole range of colleges in a particular part of the area. I'm not sure where they're going this year, but I know that they are going on the college tour. We always look forward to that. All of our schools are recognized as No Place for Hate, and that's, again, wonderful activities that and a focus on the kind of world that we want to see. The high school began an initiative led by Vanessa, Room to Breathe, and I know it's going to continue because it was so successful. It's just a place that people can go to relax, take a little time away from the pressures and stresses, and enjoy the moment. Twilight program took off. In fact, Twilight program is part of our success in meeting a record-setting percentage of graduation. We ended August with 100% of our students having been graduated. We had, this is another way of presenting it. You can see that we've kept our record on diplomas awarded, Regents Diploma and Advanced Regents Diploma. If you look at that last two years, we've really hit the record that we really wanted to be above 80%. That was one of the things I wanted to focus on when I came here. It's an exciting place to be, but I thought we could push the envelope, and I think the high school has really done a remarkable job in pushing the envelope and bringing the supports, and it takes a whole team. It's recognizing, can we look at our students more carefully and help them to challenge themselves? And you can see the last 2 years, we've not only hit the 80, and now remember, these are higher standards, more difficult exams, because remember, we've phased in the Common Core exams, and yet our students are graduating with the Advanced Regents Diploma, much more ready for the college experience. Again, graduation rates, I want to say by August, we hit the 100. Numbers of AP papers written. Remember that last year's class was the largest class we've ever had. So if you look at percentage of papers written per student, we're still very much up there with 1,389. Regents exams, doing exceptionally well all throughout. The chemistry exam is one that we need to look at. We also need to look at the chemistry AP. So A couple of years ago, I know we had brought attention to a certain area in AP's microeconomics, a lot of focus, instructional focus, as well as curriculum, and we saw a marked increase. I really do think that we need to focus a little bit on the chemistry. It is a more difficult exam. It's just changed, and we saw a dip in the scores because it was a more difficult exam. And so we're just going to look at what kids did, look at the analysis of that, and hopefully we will improve that score. Again, this is our AP exams, a percentage of students passing, that is 3, 4, or 5. You gain credit in some universities for having those scores. And you can see overall we did extremely well. Again, when it's below the expectation, it does show the dip. So if I look at this, I would say AP Calculus, AB, we want to look at that. Is it the preparation? Is it the exam? What is it that brought that score to the 50%? So we have to do some deep looking at that. AP Environmental, again, that's a course that's opened up to a lot of students. It might be their first try. And one of the things we find is that if students are exposed to college-level courses, it's good. So maybe they're challenging themselves, and by even being in the class, that's a good exposure. So AP Environmental is one of those courses where you really don't have a lot of prerequisites, and so kids, if they're going to challenge themselves, that's a great place to do that. So we have to look at how we can support kids to be more successful there, but at the same time, embrace the fact that more kids are trying to look at a college-level experience. So, again, our advanced research diploma rate, the highest we've been in. I don't know if we've ever been above 85%. I don't recall that. But these are the scores for the last 10 years. So, under some of the initiatives that we've had, we're now fully expanded. Last year was our last year of expansion for the high school, so every student, grades 5 through 12 will have a Chromebook this year. The seniors last year had it for 1 year. These students will now have had it for 2 years minimum. And certainly for our the students who are going into the high school have had it all of their lives. I mean, they've had it, fifth grade is through. There are digital natives, as we define them. They've always had instruction on that device. The ninth graders got new ones this year, so they are expected to use them for 4 years. We're still monitoring that. Our elementary schools, you know what's interesting? When I was in one of the elementary classrooms this year, this morning, I noticed that a lot of them are more spacious, and I said, how come? They said, well, we got rid of the computer banks. We don't need them anymore, because we have access to the Chromebooks. And by doing that, they could add a couch. So they could add more flexible furniture. Not everyone, but more and more they're getting rid of them because the access to the Chromebooks and K-2 has access to the iPads. So we really have saturated our schools. We also have a wireless network that people can count on, as opposed to spotty intermittent service. We have a pretty robust system because we've updated our server, and so now people can rely on it better. Yeah, remember when in the early days when you turned on the computer, you walked away, you made your coffee, you came back. You remember those days? That's real progress. And I thought that was a real sign of progress when they said we don't need they still have one computer in the classroom, but they're basically using the Chromebooks. And the smart boards, we're now in the process of updating all the smart boards because the first generation is now old, and we're updating those, and the new ones are really, really very good. We last year went into digital signage district-wide, updated all our iPhones, And we finally got our strategic instructional technology plan aligned with our initiatives. Visual arts, everybody wanted their own page, so clearly, because they're very proud. In fact, did you see our new, the new artwork? Just amazing work that the art department does. And again, they have, that's a POB middle school student's work.
Yeah, we're all admiring it.
Yes, I told Ben. I said, I can't believe that. That's a pencil drawing, folks. That's a pencil drawing for a POB middle school student. That's the level of instruction that we have in art, and you can see all of the accolades. This year, stay tuned, because Ben and a team of folks are going to be helping us put on, accommodate. This is the 150th year of the death of Gandhi, and the Shanti Fund is going to be, we're hosting one of their programs here for Diwali. And the art department is very much a part of what we're going to be doing. So we're going to have artwork and dancing, and it's going to be a wonderful show of poetry. All of the different arts are going to be participating. And Ben, Allison, and Alice are going to be doing that. I just remembered it because I saw the Shanti Fund poster. They're always winners at that competition. Ben just works overtime in terms of promoting his area. Not to be outdone is the music department with all of their accolades. And, of course, the music department puts on the drama productions that we have. We're coming up Newsdays. What do we call it, Jim? The Newsday. The Marching Band, which is October 17th. That's coming up. The kids went to Disney last year. Fantastic musicals. We were 2019 Best Communities in Music, a distinction. Glenn Rubin and she retired last year.
Jean Kandel.
They both had the performance Gold with Distinction Awards. First time ever elementary school students performed Gold with Distinction. And, of course, Glenn had a Gold with Distinction, and the POB Middle School Symphonic Band also silver. Good stuff going on. You know, this is with Parkland 2 years ago, a lot of things changed. And we have now implemented the one-button lockdown system. We did a lot of training. We're very proud to be the first district to adopt the Sandy Hook Promise. We've worked with New Homeland Security. We've updated our cameras. We have launched our district command center. And we have a transportation contract to include GPS on the vehicles. So that's important for us to note. We also, for this new school year, I think it's important for the public to note that all our buildings will be manned, or woman, security personneled through 10:30 at night and staffed. Okay, thank you. But till 10:30 at night, and we will ask everyone to follow the visitor management procedures. So, but when that 10:30 happens, the buildings will be closed. Security will do a sweep of the building so that we can declare it safe for the opening of school the following day. It's very important that we align ourselves with the new security practices. Facilities, wireless network completed. Auditoriums, everybody knows our auditoriums are renovated. All-purpose rooms, as the stages were all updated. Our science lab at POB Middle School. This usually is done in July, but we're doing it now because we have an audience now as opposed to in the summer. All the air conditioning spaces.
We want to brag a little bit.
New boilers installed, and we've strengthened entry vestibules. Now, we hope to have the vestibules in place this year. I think they're at state ed, and as soon as we get the approval, we'll have those. I would like to see them done before the beginning of school next year. That's a commitment that we would like. Fiscal, very important this community understands what it means to have a triple A bond rating. We're one of four districts in New York State with that kind of a rating. That's because we are fiscally prudent, but you can see as a community that we also, while being fiscally prudent, we have spent funds to do things that are targeted around improving the conditions of our students' life and our staff's life. So every roof, window, boiler that needs to be replaced is replaced in a timely manner. All safety procedures are handled within our budget. We are almost 80% of our bond, 2014 bond, completed, and you see evidence all over. You know, it's really distressing to look on Facebook. I just want to say I saw something on somebody sent me something on Facebook, because I'm not on those pages, about the Stratford Road track. People, you know, we address priorities. And I'm not saying Stratford Road's track isn't important. What I'm saying is it's not a priority right now. Because our teams don't use it. And we decided to spend the funds on the POB middle school track. And that's where the community has been. It was in just as bad a condition, but Stratford Road. So we will get to the Stratford Road track, just as we will get to the POB middle school tennis courts. That's on the POB middle school's tennis courts will be in this budget. For replacement, everything has a cycle, and you know, when we put a bond together, we had $75 million worth of work to be done, but we knew the community could only support a $50 million bond. So all of those other things that people keep criticizing that we haven't done, they were in that $75 million bond. But we chose not to do that because we chose the priority item. So someday those other projects will be done in a timely manner. But always the things that are used by our students are the ones that we prioritize immediately. People are forgetting how much work was done at Stratford Road. If you have the only school with a pickleball court. And think about that. You know, they have a fantastic playground. All of that, that's where we spent the money. We did not spend the money on the Stratford Road track. So I just needed to go off a little bit because I saw something on Facebook, so I wanted that to be addressed. But all the other things that are here over, if you were to add all the things that we've spent, over $15 million in capital projects, and the most important thing is the community has said we support the work of the board. 78% passage of the budget, and 87% on the capital reserve. That I don't understand. Okay. All right, we'll accept it. It's 10% different, though. I don't understand it. Communication. We've been tasked with improving our communication, updating our website. That's what we did last year. We created a communication protocol, which is in our calendar. We have a Twitter presence. We have a Facebook presence. We e-blast all the time. The superintendent's highlight goes out every week, every Friday, from the beginning of the year to the end, and highlighting some one thing. Not that wonderful things aren't happening everywhere, but we always pick one thing to highlight, and we try to rotate it throughout all the schools. Last year, we did Angst as a documentary. We added an elementary counselor, substance abuse counselor. Guidance newsletter has lots of great information. We continue with our legislative breakfast and our leadership summit every March to discuss our district priorities. The Board of Ed, I have to say, accolades to you. You actually all deserve a marble on this, as well as Vince. You have been consistent in your update of policies, and I've never seen a board work as hard on its update. You are determined to do it, and you will be complete this year. That's a very big deal. Very big. It's one of the most important things that a board does, and very few boards actually take that on. It's a lot of work, and kudos to you. You really did do it. You also wrote advocacy letters when issues arose, and wrote columns in the district newsletter. Our projected enrollment for this year, 5,020. We didn't quite make it, but we're almost there. They still keep coming in. We're almost at 5,000 right now. And, of course, our new theme, We Move Mountains. So it will be a great year where we move mountains. I want to thank the board for giving us the opportunity to do that. We look forward to a fantastic school year.
As do we. Thank you so much. Boy, what a year it was.
It was.
Thank you. Oh, okay. Next, we're going to go to profile of a graduate.
Thanks, Rich. Good evening, everybody. So this is exciting to talk about because when you look at all of the accomplishments academically, musically, athletically, did I say that already? Artistically. We really have covered the gamut of all our students, our special education students, really making some great gains with their graduation and advanced Regents diplomas. So you ask, like, why would we need something like a profile of a graduate? We're all that. But there's always this lurking concern that even though these students have attained so much in our schools, are they really ready for the challenges of the 21st century once they get out? What it takes to secure a job, maintain a job, and be successful in a career and in college. So the profile of a graduate is exactly that. It's very different from a mission statement. A mission statement, if you read ours, really focuses on what we will provide the students while they're here in our district. But the profile of a graduate focuses on outcomes for our students. And what's so interesting to note is that none of our students would receive the great gains they have while here without individual efforts of teachers, administrators, PTAs, custodians. I mean, today I saw a custodian helping a student open a locker. Like, all these little kindnesses and gifts of experience and gems they pass along the way. And we know all of those things put together make the quilt of a successful student. However, we always wonder, do we get everybody? And is there a better way to make sure that we are working toward what the community values? And the profile of a graduate does just that. It provides a visualization of the district's goals, what the community values, and what they want their students to come out of our system possessing. So the purpose is up there. It really is to give a visualization of the cognitive, personal, and interpersonal competencies that we think would be necessary to be successful when you move on from our schools and while you're in our schools. For those of you who have participated and know, and if not, you'll have an opportunity again this year because Special Ed got a hold of the login, and now they will be all over the thought exchange. But we put it out to the community first before having a person-to-person dialogue about it. And the community started to weigh in on what were some of the attributes that they really would want us to focus on while the students are here in our district. And the little profiles there represent the people, and the blue little things you probably can't see from there are the comments, but you see how the community is interacting around these suggestions of these competencies. If you want to make any major change in a system as large as a school district, you really have to include all the stakeholders, and like the seven habits tell us, we must go slow to move fast. So this work had begun before I had started, but was tasked with finishing it. So in 2017, a group of the leadership team went to a conference to learn more about the profile of a graduate and what it promises if the district engaged in the work. In 2018, it was presented to the leadership summit about which Dr. Lewis spoke in March, where we have all the stakeholder groups. And at that, they collected the attributes and some of the direction they wanted us to see us focus with regard to the soft skills of students. In January 2019, we hosted a community forum, which was led by students. And interestingly, what came out from them really changed our course in a lot of areas. Primarily, who are we including in these conversations? It was clear there was a certain type of student at that event leading the conversations. So we are looking at how are we making sure we are more inclusive in these decisions about where our district will go. We passed it on to the middle school students because the seniors and the juniors that were at the community forum will be long gone, but our middle school students will be the recipients of whatever this work turns out to be. So they participated in a thought exchange. And then in 2019-20, after we sent out the draft of the profile, we asked the curricular leaders to look at areas, and we'll continue that work this year, where some of those attributes are very present in their curriculum and in their instruction and their extracurricular and co-curricular activities, and where they want to focus to make sure we are very intentional about these 8 attributes that the community has said we really value. To your right are the 8 attributes. Empathy is number one because that was the resounding number one attribute that the community, the students, and our staff and faculty said that they thought was the most important attribute people possess. When you are empathetic, you listen differently. When you are empathetic, you can see different sides of an issue. If we ever needed more of anything in our current political climate, it's a little more empathy. Creativity and innovation. And when you look at these, I won't read them all to you, in the actual profile of a graduate document, there are indicators underneath each one of them. So people can't just use empathy as this passe phrase. It has very deliberate meaning when you look at the criteria underneath each one of these attributes. And when you look at these, I'm always thinking our leadership team was really treated to a wonderful dynamic speaker about future-ready schools and really getting our students ready for the next generation of jobs and careers and experiences. You know, you can never really prepare. Does Calculus AB really prepare somebody for a job in 2025? We really won't know that. The speed with which technology is changing is really changing some major things. And I'm going to steal from him some of the examples he gave, but would you ever think for a moment back when we were kids buying our Jordache jeans in the mall that it could get replaced by Amazon, that the Pathmark Supercenter would go out of business because Amazon bought Whole Foods and they'll deliver to your house, right? Blockbuster, I was glad they closed because I owed them so much money in late fees. And I laugh now when I go on my Netflix account and I see all my kids who have subbed out my account to Parasites, and they actually name themselves Parasites, their accounts. So I have a lot of people living off my Netflix account. But these are some of the things that were not predictable. There's a funny meme on Facebook that talks about, you know, you were told as a kid not to get into a car with a stranger, and you were told not to talk to a stranger, but Uber, we get on a phone with a stranger and get in his car. But these are the things, and when you think of that one technology, Uber, how many jobs it created, right? But who would have also thought that our small-time doctors and their offices would be put out of business by a city MD or Northwell? So I would like to say to anybody that if we focus on these, no matter what the 5-year future holds, if our kids possess all of this, they will just be fine, because I'm sure if you think of the powerhouses behind the technological revolution, they possessed all of those. So on the left is the thought exchange, and if you look at it in your handout, those were the top thoughts that really encapsulated all of those attributes. And it was tough. If you look at other districts' profile across the country, they have 4 or 6, but this is POB. We do big. We could not. And we went back and forth. No one was willing to give up on any of these. We really rattled these around. It was interesting. But I have to say a lot of the work we do is around this. And at our leadership meeting, the kickoff this past week, we asked our leaders to really take a look at where it's alive in their department and where they want to focus this year. So the next 2 slides will show that. So our leadership team answered this question: which attribute are you excited about and know it already lives in your department? And empathy is alive and well. Interestingly, and when you think of the examples of the Netflix, the Amazon, and things like that, creativity and innovation, none of the chair people could really say wholeheartedly it's living, with the exception of Ben, you know. But because he's only one person, he got less than 1%. That's why there's nothing there. But that's curious, because when you think of people being flexible upon graduation despite their academic training, they would need that. So it was good to see that in the lacking in what they currently identify, that for this year, without knowing what each other were going to answer, they identified collaboration and creativity and innovation as something they definitely want to focus on with their departments and make sure it's living somewhere in their curriculum. I asked the leadership team to say, you know, what they expect the impact on the students to be with regards to these. So they were really big on when the adults model these attributes, it's more likely the students will be able to then assume some of those. They were very happy to see that we had a very clear direction. It was intentional. It was manageable. Again, modeling the behavior and agreeing with mindset and empathy as being very big emotional intelligences to grow. And having a public document. When we have a public document, it really affects every aspect of our organization, because if we have these eight attributes, we can ask very simple questions. When we make budget decisions, does it speak to one of those? When we make curricular and programmatic decisions, does it speak to one of those? When we hire people, do they possess those skills? So it really gives us a very big frame from which to work that focuses on the outcomes. And collaboration among the faculty was a big desire of our leadership team, that they're really looking forward to a year of that. And I'm sure, Dr. Lewis, you'll agree, when we went around the buildings, we saw a lot of great enthusiasm about what's going on. And of course, Ben, we charged him with making the logo for it. So this is a very nice visualization of the community's focus and our, you know, wish for what all of our graduates will possess. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Questions, comments? Ginger?
First, thank you. This is phenomenal. Talking about empathy, it's been proven if children, before they enter school, understand and accept what empathy is, bullying will go all the way down, if not totally disappear. And it's such an important thing. And I think that as we go through the buildings, I'm always amazed when you start in the elementary buildings and you look at the different things on the walls. Every single thing has empathy, acts of kindness, social, emotional learning. That's better than an A on a report card, because that makes you a real person. That makes you a person who understands how you treat other people. And a couple years ago, I was in a building, and someone, a little boy, pushed somebody else, and the other kid turned around and said, that was not an act of kindness. No. And I thought, they get it. They absolutely get it. And I'm really so proud of our district that we have made this our crusade, and we've talked about it for so many years, not when it became the thing to do, but well before that. And as you go into the middle schools and you see the clubs and you see the different things the kids do, when you get to high school, that blows your mind away. Because what these kids are doing for society and doing in civics is beyond all belief, and that's what this is about. And we fight every day looking in the paper and saying, that's wrong, but our kids are getting it, and they understand you have to right that wrong. So thank you. It was great.
Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you very much.
Before you go on, I forgot to mention and thank Nina for allowing so many of our staff members to come in over the summer to begin the training. So we had, some people came in twice, responsive classroom, Teachers College writing project, ICT teachers working with their gen ed teachers, and the technology boot camp. I mean, hundreds of hours of training that teachers were able to do during the summer so that they were ready for the opening of school. And Stony Brook News Literacy. I mean, an entire, Stony Brook is actually using our curriculum for their program. So, I mean, we're setting the pace.
Because of that, I'm sorry. They're ready to roll. The first lesson will be given across the district on Friday. They did such beautiful work that the lessons are ready for the news literacy. So that was really Maria and Jeff. Great work.
Wow. We are beginning to move mountains.
We are.
Thank you. Okay, our last discussion will be about our board goals. Are they? We're going to put them up. I think there might be a handout as well. These are our drafts. I have to find it on mine.
They're copies. Copies that the public has. This is the first draft that the board will be looking to send out to the constituents to get feedback. So we'll be meeting with the PTA, we'll be meeting with the PCT, and we'll be meeting with ASDA before it's finalized, which is going to be in October.
And the community could always feel free to either email us or to speak during public participation. So how do we want to do this? Do we want to go through the first one to see if anybody would like to have a change or add something? So our first guiding principle was... trying to think what to even read.
Rather than go through all of it, I would say, are there any things that you need clarification on or any items that you thought, well, I really wanted us to go in a particular direction.
And it wasn't, okay.
And that was not included in the document because this is really coming from a discussion with board members.
Right.
But we never really talked about it together publicly, so
right.
So there might be individual board members who have spoken about specific particular things that have been included. At the end of this, it will be a document that the entire board will adopt. So.
Right. Okay. So, Tara.
So I have a few. I'm not sure where you want to start. Should I just start?
Yeah, you could just start in
anywhere.
We'll figure out where they go
all right.
as we go along.
So in terms of clarification, I don't even know what page it is. Let's see. Page 2, under 2025 visioning, about half, the second to last dash, it says, no backpacks, all children have devices, and we are paperless. I can't imagine that we mean we're not going to use books or anything else. So I'm hoping that there's clarification because I think multimodality for teaching and multimedia teaching is very important.
So, yeah, that's a second column. So you're saying that we, clearly, you're absolutely right, that we will always have books. We are schools. But I think the expression there, and I believe you were, Lauren, this was sort of your bullet, no backpacks, because in order to get rid of the backpacks with all the big binders, in other words, we could have said no big binders. So it's to lessen the use of paper, lessen the worksheets, moving to electronic communication more. But certainly, so maybe we'll have a better way to express that. We'll try to fix that. Mary? Yeah. Less paper.
And, or
more electronic, seeking more electronic means of communication.
We had a conversation about less, how we read that.
Yeah.
And we went back and forth about stainless, right?
Right.
Stainless.
Yeah.
Right. Less stain or without stain, right?
So we did have that discussion.
So paperless is
electronic
less paper.
Access, maybe. Right.
Lighter backpack. She did not say no backpacks.
Okay, so it will reflect lighter. Lighten.
Right.
What lightened the backpacks?
Right. More than the kid.
Right, I remember that discussion. All right, we will address it so it addresses what you want.
Okay, and then I'm going to move on to, and I want to thank everyone for including this, implement a comprehensive program to address time management and organizational skills in grades 3-8. Why did we say 3-8? I'm sorry, that
right.
is on the same page
right.
on the right-hand
it's
column.
It's on the right, yeah. So you're absolutely right, because as I think about it, in kindergarten, I mean, today we saw some major organization skills being addressed with kindergartens. I mean, I can think of a classroom that I was in, and they were already knowing where to sit, how to, you know, when to do certain things. So we'll just put K through 8. We're explicit in K-8, so I wouldn't, you know, would that address your concern, K-8? Because we really don't address it in the secondary.
All
right.
I mean, because when we send them off to college, time management is a very important thing because they're less
It will mean a different thing at the secondary level, but we could do that. We could do K-12 and then try to figure out what we would do at the appropriate level.
Developmentally appropriate, something like that.
Okay, we will.
Can I ask one thing? With the word implement, we don't have anything in place yet, so that would take time. Do we want to say something with regard to kind of do a program evaluation and develop and start implementing? You know, because I don't know if we can do a K-12 implementation of a scope and sequence of executive functioning. Okay.
So develop.
Okay. So realistic. Develop.
Okay. Thank you, Mary.
Okay. And the last part has to do with implementing a comprehensive program to address mental health and wellness proactively and addressing social-emotional skills in the areas of self-acceptance, mutual respect, meaningful connections, positive dialogue, and embracing diversity. So in that area, there was something in the profile of the graduate that was said that stuck with me, that, and I know we're trying to implement profile of the graduate through these board goals. And it's the quote that says, mindset and empathy help to grow emotional intelligence, which is the most important intelligence to teach and build in students. With that as a foundation, academic achievement and emotional well-being is increased and enjoyed. In terms of this, I do appreciate us keeping it more broad and allowing the experts to decide on how it should be implemented, but I want to make sure everyone's on the same page in terms of what this is saying. I know that we are doing mental health screenings in 10 grades 7 through 10.
7 and 10.
7 and 10, sorry,
to 7 and 10.
Proactively address some of these issues. Mm-hmm. For me, I think I'd like to see us go a little further with that. So, to me, coping skills and effective communication are key. Problem-solving skills, not just, you know, being able to take different perspectives that goes along with empathy, and not just self-acceptance, like we're saying in here, but really self-awareness, and then navigating common and complex social situations, especially in the wake of social media and the internet, I think is really important. A lot of our kids that are now on playing video games, they don't have the opportunities to interact socially that we may have had growing up. It's just a very different world. And if we're going to have people who are going to be productive members of a workplace and society, they really just need to be able to effectively communicate, see the other person's perspective, be able to problem solve. And like sometimes modify the way that they're getting their message across, because if you say something and someone's not understanding it, maybe you need to change the way you're saying it and reflect and say, what am I doing that's causing this reaction, and then address that. And I do think that those kinds of things are very important for us to do on an age-appropriate basis throughout K through 12. Mm-hmm. I imagine we're doing some of that.
And also, in addition to the 7 and 10 screener, all K through 12 teachers are required this year to attend a 2-hour mental health and wellness after-school training led by the head of the Department of Health Services, who will share with them other organizations with which they can help, you know, direct students to identify them in the classroom, engage them, and then send them to the correct areas. So there is a comprehensive, but tucking in those specific criteria is important, I guess.
We've been working on, I guess, we're potentially embedding some of this into some of the curriculum, even at the elementary level.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And a lot of it lives in the No Place for Hate. A lot of it lives in the Leader in Me. And I know Mr. Murray is really interested in bringing Leader in Me to the high school, so they'll be here to meet with his staff. So some of that is embedded in our existing programs, so we should just be more explicit in how they're addressing.
That's great.
Good.
That's great. Okay. Thank you. I think that that was really it.
Thank you. Susan?
So I had a question also, why it was a clarification. We had talked about the experience of internship-externship. Mm-hmm. Why it's under number 2 and not number 1, and taking that just a little bit further, should it be also looking at more, I realize we have a very high college student going off to college. We had 96%, I think you just said. But still, we have a few who are going vocational. Are we supporting that too? Where we'll have some, because even I was watching a piece, I don't remember if it was on MSNBC, but there was a janitorial machine that cleans like super Walmarts and stuff like that. So we're not, you know, it's not about teaching somebody how to sweep a floor, it's about programming that particular machine. Even in the manufacturing areas now, it's programming the machines in the factories. So there's a computer need, there's math needs and stuff like that. So are we also looking educationally, not so much as the citizenship side of it, but the educational side of that? That I was kind of wondering why that was in number two instead of number one when we talked about the externships. So that was just a clarification I wanted to ask about.
Well, number two is citizenship. Safe naming. Like, we could certainly move
community
it.
Service belongs
move
there.
It.
And
yeah,
citizenship
this is
more,
up
it's
top
more
teaching.
Teaching.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's
easy.
We can do that.
And then regarding finance, so it would be number three. Rich had talked about going green, and just happened on Monday, there was a big article about different school districts going green. Nassau County is now banning styrofoam. Beginning January 1. I know our lunch program in the elementary schools, they're using styrofoam trays.
Paper.
Now it's paper? At some point, I do remember their styrofoam.
They were.
So are we going to start getting rid of some of the styrofoam? Is everything all the styrofoam gone, or will it be gone because of the Nassau County rules?
Yeah, we haven't been using styrofoam.
Awesome.
We still, though, I mean, things that we talk about are things like plastic wrap and things like that. So we do look for other products, but the use of styrofoam has been out in our food service for a while.
And I mean, can we start also looking at instead of the singles use?
Well, you guys got bottles a long time ago. Pasadena gave you water bottles.
That's true.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't remember receiving.
We will find our water bottles.
So can we
bring them.
Okay.
And then
right.
Just
take a sip.
Then also we had talked about maybe doing consolidating more. We spoke about during budget time consolidating things with BOCES and service. Are we looking at all that? More places to consolidate and maybe any duplications of jobs that we're going to be looking more and more of that going forward?
I can't say I understand what you're asking.
I just want to make sure that I know that you looked for budget,
mm-hmm.
that we were going to do more like printing. We're going to try doing a printing so it's centralized, so we're
right.
going to be saving money financially. Mm-hmm. Are we going to go look for more of those type of examples within the district? Are we going to consolidate more services? Are we going to look for things like that that are not duplicated in multiple buildings or multiple departments?
Yes. I think one of the other things that we talked about also is looking for other ways using our existing software systems to help people work more efficiently. And I think that's really, we're always looking on the business end to make sure we're doing things at lowest cost, least time consuming, because people have so much on their plate. If we can make things more efficient tasks, more efficient to do, they can actually do more. So perhaps I can suggest a goal for that. I don't have it in my head right now, but perhaps I can write something that might go in that direction.
All right. Thank you.
And you're asking us to look to BOCES services to see what we
can do. Not necessarily.
I'm thinking like operational efficiencies.
Yes, and looking to make sure that we are constantly always reassessing, like we did with the copying machine. That's the biggest one I can think of right now. But.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay, I just had a couple of things. In terms of community service or civic service, and I know I asked this last year, I don't remember what the answer was, but I'm going to ask it again this year. Can't it be K through 12? It doesn't mean that in the elementary schools they're going to have a requirement. It means whatever we decide it to mean. but I would like okay. to begin, and, you know, and all of our elementary schools do a lot of civic service, so.
Okay. Can I add to your,
of
I just want to answer
you
your point. I don't want to interrupt it before we move on to something else. And I get what Debbie is thinking. You know, you think of some of the stuff that the PTAs do in the schools, the coat drives, the I know Pasadena collects the markers for recycling. Those are the kinds of things that maybe the elementary school kids could get involved in and help out the PTA kids who can stay after school. You know, and help the PTA with those kinds of things when they collect the coats, when they, as they're part of community service, getting them started a little bit earlier. You know, I know the options are a little more limited for the older kids who can be dropped off somewhere or who can, but, you know, when we think maybe that's the kind of thing we can partner with the PTA to do because they do different types of okay. goodwill work in the various buildings.
And a lot of the teachers within their own classroom do various activities. So, yeah.
So just to piggyback off that really quickly and back to what I was talking about to bring them back together, it could be as simple as making sure and go along with even the bullying and kind of bring it, tie it all together because it's not just about raising funds. It's about how you are as a community member
right.
to your fellow, you know, people that you are community with. So making sure that you've got a buddy, everyone's got a buddy doing the right thing, things like that. It could be, you know, go along with that, following the rules of the school, you know. So I there's a lot of areas, I
right.
think. I agree.
Deb,
thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you just said the coat drive and everything else. I just want to say what I say every year. If there's stuff that we have last year from Lost and Found and we didn't give away, we have children here who don't have coats, who don't have winter boots, things that are just left in the school. And instead of giving it away to different organizations, let's look at home first because we should look when kids come into school on a really bad day. Are they wearing clothes that are right? Do they have a lightweight jacket when they should have a winter coat? Little kids, do they have hats? Do they have gloves? Do they have boots? And if not, we should really start to think a lot about home also.
Thank you. One other thing, you know, I guess it's because of the world we live in now. But I was wondering where...
What? It's a Trump thing.
Okay. Where... whether we could have some kind of anti-racism, anti-hate within our curriculum. No Place for Hate was a great beginning, but I'd like to see how it can be expanded in terms of the curriculum and just in terms of everything that goes on in our district and the message we're giving kids. So is that...
Along with that, are we still doing where our elementary children go to the high school to the Holocaust and Genocide Center?
No, the answer is no.
Well,
considering the rise of anti-Semitism is all over, and that we have one of the only Holocaust genocide centers, I think it would be appropriate for our kids to understand what's there.
Sure.
And by the way, how's the wall coming? Do we have a wall there yet?
No.
The plaque.
The plaque.
The plaque.
A different wall.
Okay. All right. Maybe some of the things could be just right. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so our next step will be to either meet or hear from our stakeholder groups, and I'm sure they're not shy. They will share their thoughts about these goals and add to them or refine them. And like I said at the beginning, anybody from the public can also share with us. And we will have another discussion and adoption, I think, in October?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go to public participation.
Yes.
District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussions on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could in some way be violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We thank you in advance for being respectful of other speakers, the Board of Education, and all staff members. The floor is now open.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Davis, 26 Birch Lane, Plainview. Good evening, Dr. Lewis, and esteemed members of the Board of Education. Hope you all had a wonderful summer. I'm here today to formally request that administration and the Board of Ed consider revising our National Honor Society eligibility requirements to include students in the 10th grade. Article 9, Section 1 of the official National Honor Society's National Constitution states, to be eligible for membership, the candidate must be a member of those classes, sophomore, junior, senior, designated as eligible in the chapter bylaws. And Article 16 of the official chapter bylaws, Section 1, state that each chapter must be consistent with the National Honor Society Constitution. I feel it is a grave oversight not to offer the honor to our 10th graders. Along with juniors and seniors, 10th graders should be afforded the opportunity to be nominated and awarded for their leadership, character, and academic excellence. In all grades, we continuously observe students in our district who promote a positive school climate, demonstrate good citizenship, and strive to reach their greatest potential in school and in life. Okay. In addition, there are many colleges in the U.S. who offer micro National Honor Society scholarships. Many of those scholarships are calculated for every year a child is a member of NHS. I feel we're doing our sophomores a serious disservice by not allowing them to be considered for this prestigious accolade along with the junior and senior classes. The district gives our 10th graders the opportunity to choose some of the same classes offered to juniors and seniors. It's only fair they should be recognized as such. Our school district takes great pride in our students. They constantly illustrate good character, uphold principles of morality and ethics, demonstrate reliability, show courtesy, concern and respect for others, and work very, very hard to shine academically and should be awarded and recognized for their hard work. We shouldn't have to limit that recognition to only our upperclassmen. Thank you.
Thank you. We will certainly take that into consideration. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no other speakers, public participation is now closed. We appreciate and will consider your input. Thank you. Okay, now can I get a motion for routine business? Jody, second. Seth, hold separation discussion. What's my
name? New teacher who's in the audience.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes, please. I'd like to table 8.14. Okay.
8.14 or 8.4?
8.14 recommendation.
Can I just legal counsel advise we should table that?
Okay. Thank you. On that motion, with the exception of 8.14, all those in favor? Thank you. We'd like to welcome Dr. Mulieri. Would you like to welcome?
Yes, we have a number of new appointees that you had tonight, but one of them is in the audience, Stephanie, if you'd like to stand up. Stephanie Sumzik for joining us as a special ed teacher at Plainview Old Bethpage Middle School.
Welcome, and thank you for joining our family. Okay, now we're going to on to new business. Can I have a motion to adopt the 2019-2020 district-wide safety plan? Ginger, second. Tara, any question or discussion? It was presented at the last meeting. All those in favor? Okay, can I have a motion to go into executive session to discuss collective bargaining negotiations? Lauren, second. Seth, all those in favor? Thank you, and drive home safely.